I've worked at every McDonald's in a 45-mile radius of my house. Somehow, over the years, I've gotten a reputation as a good filler guy. Someone you can call on to deal with sudden absences, firings, and unwanted night shifts. And unwanted night shifts. This means I've worked in some truly weird places. But the worst is one by a junction nearby. I've gone there for food dozens of times, and it's perfectly normal in the day. But sometimes, I get called in to cover the night shift, and something really messed up is going on for sure. It only happens during the night, as far as I can tell. But it's hard to know. I know night shifts are always lonely, and it's common for there to be rumors, but this place is something else. It's on a motorway junction by a rundown town. Nearby, there's a petrol station that isn't staffed past 11 p.m, a Starbucks that's never even opened its doors, and a car wash that hasn't opened since the first Toy Story came out. So, come nighttime, it's just this little glassy McDonald's with happy mascots and bright lights standing like an island of bright fluorescent light in a sea of sepia noir. Overhead, you've got a ramp that leads to the motorway. Close by are four dual carriageways that crisscross an enormous roundabout. And between all of that, there are speeding trucks and, well, there's nothing else. No fields, no paths, no pavements, no shops or anything. This isn't a place made for humans. It's made for cars. And I guess that's why the McDonald's survived. Because the through traffic on the drive-thru keeps it just busy enough to stay open. But at night time, it means there's this horrible atmosphere. Overhead, you can hear the cars zooming by, and there are great big lampposts that bathe everything in amber, and the occasional nighttime traveler driving past. But that's it. I've never worked anywhere so dead. Some night shifts, it's just me. And I gotta be honest, it's terrifying. It's more than just loneliness. It's actually terrifying. There's something out there. It sounds stupid, but there is. The first time I turned up, the manager took me aside and told me I needed to fill a cup up with fat from the fryer and leave it by the open drive-through window. I laughed at the time, but he just groaned, grabbed a nearby cup, and filled it up anyway. He put it by the window and told me I couldn't move it. I was expecting some kind of banter, thinking it was a practical joke. But he didn't even bother. It was like he just couldn't be bothered to explain it, so he just did it himself. That was my first night, and it was a doozy. Nothing happened, not really, but it still messed me up. Over time, customers slowly stopped turning up, staff started going home, and bit by bit, the distant sound of cars died down to only the occasional passing engine. Without ever being fully aware of it, I realized around 2:30 a.m. that I was alone. It was a weird feeling to have at work, but I tried to shrug it off, but it was hard. I was standing by the open drive-thru window, looking out, and I realized I couldn't see anything. It's just this swervy little U-bend, covered by tall hedges, and at night, it gets no light. It was just a black wall of darkness opposite an open window, and I was standing there, facing it, without a single sound, except some overhead wires thrumming in the wind, and the panicked beat of my own heart. I wanted to reach out and shut the window, or just up and leave, but I also kept reminding myself that I was freaking out for no reason. It was like that all night, me telling myself nothing was wrong, but feeling nervous anyway. As a strategy to stay brave, it worked until I went to the loo, came back and looked down, only to see that the cup of fat had disappeared. I remember looking up and staring into the darkness, trying to figure out if I was upsetting myself over nothing, were if the cup of fat really had moved. But there was nothing standing outside that window. There was nothing around for miles, and no sound except for the buzz of electrical wires and their reverberations in the wind. For a moment, it felt like the silence and darkness was closing in on me, reaching slowly out of the window and into the restaurant itself. I was on the verge of total panic, when a car took me by surprise and swerved around the corner, rubber tires squealing on the road as it slammed to a stop opposite me. After that, a few drunk guys stayed for about half an hour and must have repeated their order about a dozen times each. By the 16th time that I'd been asked to remember dips, I was so angry that I'd forgotten all about the cup of fat. After that, I sort of forgot about my fear. Or at least I got something else to focus my mind on. That was my first night. And when morning came, it all just felt like a bad dream, and I was ready to leave it behind me. But that was just the start. Whenever I went back there, I'd fill a cup with fat, and it'd always disappear when I turned my head. I asked around, seeing if it was a prank. But people looked at me stupid when I made a suggestion. I took to staying a little longer after the end of each shift, just to go look outside by the window. Most days, I never saw something. But sometimes, I'd see bits of the hedge, looking broken or busted up. Nothing serious, just a few snapped twigs. But it definitely looked like someone, or something big, had scraped up against them. Of course, that could easily be a car or a van, so I was never sure. But sometimes, I'd see the odd drop of fat running down the leaves, no more than a small drip. But enough to tell me, something was out there. It took a while, but I did get my hands on the security tapes for one night. It's such a shame they were terrible quality, showing nothing but me stood in the window, surrounded by total darkness. I couldn't make out much, except for a kind of staticky shadow. On one tape I kept, it looked as though something big might be moving in the darkness, blocking the camera for just a second. But when it passes, the cup of fat is gone. With no tapes, I've had to rely on word-of-mouth stories, all of which are pretty weird. A while back, a girl supposedly went missing from a shift, but a quick Google of her name showed a news story where she'd been killed by a violent ex, although no body was found. I spoke to one guy who mentioned a kid finding a nearby drainage ditch filled with hundreds and hundreds of empty McDonald's drinks. I did try looking one day, figuring that might be where the cups of fat went, but never found anything. Then again, it's a nightmare to walk around here, especially in the day, and I can't quite bring myself to abandon my shift and go looking at night. Another story said that it's common knowledge that if a fat fryer is left for long enough, things start to live in it. One day, years back, some new manager finally went in and ordered a new fat fryer, but when they emptied the old one, an ancient piece of kit that I was told had never been cleaned, ever, something black and slimy was left at the bottom, caked in fat, and looking like no animal or thing anyone had ever seen. When no one was looking, this thing slipped away, leaving a trail of fat between the restaurant and a nearby sewage drain. I did mention this story to one manager, and he pulled one hell of a face and told me, "Yeah, I remember that, but there wasn't anything at the bottom of the fryer. Besides, nothing could have crawled because we tipped it straight into the drain anyway, so there couldn't have been a trail." Which I took to be a reasonable explanation, although someone else told me that particular manager hadn't even been in on that day. But after just a few days of asking around, I had enough stories to fill a book, and almost all of them conflicted in some way. None of them ever really made much sense to me. In some ways, They felt more like a lazy attempt to fill in the blanks. They were just urban legends, and under other circumstances, they'd just be part of the normal gossip that hangs around the old franchise. Except, something was taking that cup of fat. I tried ignoring it, like everyone told me to, but it felt wrong. In my experience, no one else will go the extra step to look after you, least of all your co-workers. And I know that it's real easy to ignore another person's problems. I was the one by that window, not the manager's. I started doing things to find out more. I tried tying a string around the cup one time, but came back to it rolled up neatly by the window. Another time, I left one empty cup and one full cup, only to find both cups gone when I came back. Later that night, the empty one was returned, untouched, outside the front of the restaurant doors. Most of the time, there were these little silly variations, and nothing bad ever happened. Things didn't get real, until one night, I decided to leave the cup further back from the window, by about 10 feet. I don't even know what I was expecting. I just wanted to try and learn something more, I guess. Something about what was taking the cup. Afterwards, that changed. And while I never saw it, at least not all of it, what I remember has stuck to me like glue. It's the sound it made. The image in my head changes all the time. The details move around, and the size and order of events change. But the sound, it's almost like I can still feel it in my teeth. I hear it in radio static, or in moments of silence. I remember leaving and coming back to find the cup still there, by the door. I couldn't see a thing outside that window, just a veil of black, but I got the sense something was moving on the other side. When a gust of wind blew in from the outside like an animal's breath, hot and fetid, I realized something was terribly wrong. And then, like a dream, it reached out. It began small, innocuous even. It was just a skinny hand trying to grab a cup. But the skin looked thick and crumpled like the hide of a rhino. And even though the arm was thin, like really bizarrely thin, the hand had these chubby fingers that looked slick to the touch. When it couldn't find the cup, it started to stretch. Something about the movement made a noise that filled the room like nails on a chalkboard. The noise was almost mechanical, like a grinding machine or broken tool. And that arm kept stretching, the bone grinding beneath pale, inhuman flesh as it telescoped towards me, stretched, revealing blue, spidery veins that looked close to snapping under tension. 1 foot, 2 foot, 3, and soon much more. By the time I realized it was going to reach me, I had to suppress a scream. My imagination was filled with images of me being dragged into the darkness beyond, but no matter what I told my legs to do, they just wouldn't obey. Eventually, it reached the counter just beside me and grabbed the cup of fat, before slowly withdrawing back into the darkness. They found me in the disabled bathroom in the morning. I didn't remember going in there, but I do remember waking up in a state of total distress. I opened the door and fled back home, and, as if confirming my suspicions, I later found out my manager didn't say a thing about it to anyone. When I tried getting some CCTV footage of him, he told me it wasn't available. He knew damn well what had happened. It was just another problem to be swept under the rug. "No one's been hurt for years," he snapped at me when I finally confronted him in the office. "No one's been hurt," he said, almost as if he was reassuring himself. "So there's nothing to report." But I wouldn't let it go. In the end, he installed bars in the window. They had a little square we could feed some items through, and they could even be open from the inside to let us hand out the bigger orders. And then he acted like that was it, job done. But I remembered that hand stretching out, and those bars didn't do much to comfort me. They'd stop a random attacker, sure. But that thing that came out of the darkness? It wasn't enough to get me back on my shift. I only had one left, but I still threatened to quit if they tried to make me do it. I only gave in when the manager himself agreed to sit in on it. After that, I was told, I'd never have to work in that branch ever again. Reluctantly, I felt like I had to agree. I didn't want to quit the job completely. It's not a good look to quit a job at McDonald's. It's not like I'm a teenager either. I can't put it down to being young and dumb. It was a tense start to the shift. The manager was mad he had to stay up all night, and I was mad he'd covered up what had happened, so there wasn't much conversation. The only time we interacted was when he placed a cup of fat by the window and then checked the bars. I took the time to tell him he'd have to stay by the window, because I sure as hell wouldn't. For a moment, he looked like he was going to try and have a go at me, but I think he realized it was pointless and let it go. After all, it was just one more night, right? About 3:30, I heard a noise from the drive-thru. There was a bang and a loud cry, and I rushed to my feet, heart pounding. I ran around the corner, only to find the manager stood there, swearing loudly, his feet and legs covered in fat. He'd knocked the damn cup over, bang smack, straight down his legs, and all over his fat stomach. I laughed, which ticked him off, even though I was laughing from a leaf and not actually because he'd messed up. Still, he didn't know that, so he just barked at me to go get another cup. I was filling it up, when this time, I heard another scream. This time I laughed, because I thought he'd fallen over. One false alarm, I thought. No need to rush. I walked, slowly, carefully holding the cup, only to have the manager back up right into me. Another cup of fat ended up tipped all over him, this time down his back. I was getting ready for an earful when he turned, and I saw the look in his eyes. And then, that sound came back. I pushed him aside and stared into the room where that hand was reaching out into the restaurant, the arm behind it thinning like gum, being pulled apart. In desperation, the manager grabbed half the empty cup I held and threw it in the direction of the window. It hit the bars with a limp thud before falling to the floor where the hand, quick as a whip, followed it down. But by then, the cup was mostly empty, and you could sense the disappointment in the thing's movements. Those lifeless, grey fingers just dabbed at a small pool of fat, flicked to the cup about clumsily, and then snapped back up to face us, like a snake fixing its eyes on a mouse. The manager and I both took a moment to look down at the fat dripping off his legs, and I started to scream for him to take his trousers off. But it was too late. Before he'd even roll them down to his shins, the sound started up again. God, it gets into your head. It hurts just to hear. The poor guy was still trying to pull his fat-soaked trousers off with one hand, even as blood dripped from his ears, and his eyes turned red and teary. Realizing he wouldn't make it, I grabbed him and started to pull, but we both slipped and fell in the fat. We were both so terrified, we were trying to climb over each other just to get away. If we'd just taken some time, we probably could have escaped. But we were both faced with a kind of nightmare, and the idea of that feeling, that cold hand clamped around my leg, it drove into hysterics. I was so scared that when he stopped clamoring over me, I looked around to see that wretched misshapen fist gripping his shin. I secretly felt relieved. And then I felt guilty, even as the thing pulled him backwards with unstoppable strength. I tried to hold onto him, but it just pulled the two of us along as effortlessly as one. and nothing he held onto could stop. When he gripped a nearby grill, the handle he held onto just snapped off. This thing didn't even tug. It was just one long, slow, inescapable drawback towards the window. And then he reached the bars. "Open the bars!" he screamed. "Jesus Christ, open them now! Open them now!" I stood up and ran forward, trying not to look him in the eyes as I fumbled with the padlock. "Where are the keys?" I cried, only to turn and find him silent, quivering and pale. He was still alive, but no longer able to talk, only whimper. His knee had been forced through the bar. Blood was now running copiously down the metal and onto the countertop. It dragged him through without ever changing speed. Even when it pulled his thigh through, leaving long strips of gored fat and muscle dangling from the bone. Even when I heard the cracks of his shattered bones fill the room. Even when it reached his pelvis, his body so twisted that his chin was by his ankle. It never slowed down. It was like paper being fed into a shredder. He lived for so long, reaching out onto the counter, trying desperately to stay in one piece. It pulled him all the way through. And what was left on the other side looked like blocks of meat and bone. The last thing I saw was his head starting to crack and crumple, his face pushed together like a squashed tomato, while the skull behind grew elongated and broken. He was long dead by that point, but somehow, he still looked like he was in so much pain. Eventually, something broke inside me, and I ran screaming into the disabled toilets. When morning came, I didn't stick around to find out more. I just ran out the front doors, past the bewildered workers, and fled, ready to never return. Some people cried out after me. I even glimpsed one manager shaking his head by the drive-thru. But besides an article talking about a depressed McDonald's worker found by the train tracks, I'm not sure I even know what the official outcome was. Sometimes I think it was all a dream. But that couldn't explain what I found on the hood of my car that morning, just before I left. There was a McDonald's cup filled with bloody fat, slick and fluid white globules floating in an oily mixture, mucus-coated capillaries growing dark in the oxygen-rich air as the blood coagulated. I tipped it down a nearby drain, my hands shaking as I approached the grill. That was the last offering I ever gave.